And we are back. Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. It is so good to be back with each and every one of you. It is my sincere hope that all of you had a restful, meaningful, and wonderful Yom Tov. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Sheni, the 23rd day of the month of Nisan and the 8th day of the Omer. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular to the Schwartz family, whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit OU.org/call. That's OU.org/call. And please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for the next scheduled program, which is tomorrow, is 5 p.m. Eastern time today. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Senior Rabbi at Boca Raton Synagogue in Boca Raton, Florida, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Goldberg slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And it'll be followed by the Mishabeach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Goldberg to learn more about his incredible community in Boca Raton. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Goldberg.
Thank you so much, Naftali. I greatly appreciate your invitation to participate, to continue to participate in this really extraordinary gathering and to learn how many people continue to call in and to create a community, a virtual community across the globe to say Tehillim together. We can only imagine that those Tehillim ascend straight to Shamayim, a collection of such diverse people from diverse places, all who are coming together simply to, in sincerity and honesty, appeal to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam to be able to watch over us. So, Naftali, thank you for continuing to put this wonderful opportunity together. I really want to share a brief thought that's very much on my mind as we've concluded Pesach. Today is Isru Chag. We've all come out on the other side of this wonderful, magnificent holiday. But we find ourselves in the week of Yom HaShoah. And we come off of the holiday that's characterized by questions, and we enter a day on the calendar which is marked by so many unanswerable questions. Questions that, of course, bother us to our very core. The questions of Tzadik Varalo, how can so many, 6 million, an almost incomprehensible number, how could we have lost so many holy and righteous people, so many others who survived to continue to suffer? And I want to share with you an insight from this parsha, which speaks to me and I hope will resonate for you as well. Torah tells us and introduces us in the second half of the parsha to the laws of kashrus. Torah lists the criteria, the signs, the species, birds, fish, animals, what we're eligible to eat and what is off limits. And most commentators see it, this section, the second half of the parsha, as entirely disconnected from the first part of the parsha. The first part of our parsha tells us the tragic death of Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu. And it's as if our one parsha is really made up of two. A tragic narrative of the loss of two people in the prime of their life, and then a pivot to the laws, the detailed and minutia laws of kashrus. Is there a theme? Is there something that binds them? So the Sforno suggests that the Mishkan and kashrus are both means to bring hashras hashchina, both visiting, spending time with Hashem in the tabernacle, and observing the special dietary laws God has given us, are both means of making contact with the divine. We achieve holiness, we connect with Hashem, both in his home in the Mishkan, where the tragic events of the death of Nadav and Avihu happened, and by elevating and enriching ourselves in our disciplined eating, God can be found and connected within both places, and that, says the Sforno, is what binds the first half and second half of the parsha. But I want to quote, I want to share with you an insight from one of my high school teachers, one of my high school rabbeim, Rav Asher Bush, who's a rav today in Muncie. And he suggests another explanation that I find very meaningful and comforting. The story of the tragic premature death of Nadav and Avihu defies understanding. The commentators in the first year struggle. There are so many offered. What did they do wrong? Certainly, what did they do wrong so egregious that it would be deserving of this consequence of being struck down in the prime of their life? What was their mistake? Why would they be taken away in instant death on what should have been one of the happiest and most celebratory days of Aaron's life? Countless suggestions, So many explanations are offered, and yet none of them seem to satisfy our quest to understand. We have this insatiable thirst to understand, to comprehend what went wrong. And ultimately, their loss, their death, this tragic episode remains a mystery until today. According to Rashi, the laws of Kashrus are a chok. They're an unexplainable set of laws. You can offer all kinds of suggestions. Kashrus is about discipline, or the predatory character traits in these animals, or health benefits. There are a lot of suggestions offered, but Rashi says they all fall short because in the end of the day, the laws of Kashrus are a set of chukim. They're unexplainable. They're incomprehensible. They, too, remain ultimately a mystery. Says Rabbi Bush, maybe the Torah put these two themes together, maybe combined these two ideas in one parsha to tell us a difficult story in a complex set of laws. There are chukim among mitzvos, and there are chukim in our lives. There are chukim in our experiences. There are things that happen in life that defy understanding. They're beyond comprehension. They remain enigmatic and mysterious. And just like when it comes to halacha or laws, we know there are things we cannot and will not understand, so too in life. There are moments, there are experiences, there are events that we cannot and we will not understand. What was Aaron's reaction? Vayidom Aaron. The tragic loss of his sons is met with silence, and we don't know the nature of that silence. Was the silence rebellious? Was it an expression of pain? Was it complete submission and understanding? We don't know the nature of the silence, but we know he ends with silence. So does that mean that when we confront in this difficult year, so many have experienced and sustained loss, so many are still afraid of the possible consequence of this dreaded pandemic, so many have suffered or struggled economically, financially, in family, and other ways, are we meant to just accept with apathy and complacency and indifference even that which we know we can't understand, or is there more? So here I want to share a closing thought. In the middle of our parsha, in the middle of Shemini, sandwiched between the two chukim, one of laws and the other of life, are the words darosh, darash. It's regarding a specific sacrificial law. The pasuk says, darosh, darash, Moshe, that Moshe inquired insistently. Darosh, darash. He was relentless in his insistence in trying to understand. And if you look in the Chumash, you'll see a note between the words darosh and darash, indicating between these two words is the midpoint of all the words in the entire Chumash. If you were to count the words of the whole Chumash, from Bereshis till the end of Devarim, you'd find that the middle two words, the middle of the entire Torah, are between these words darosh and darash. The Sefer Emes Ve'emuna points out that Darosh Darash can be an insistent seeker to always explore, to discover, to learn, to study, to analyze. That is what's at the center. It's at the core of Torah. So the structure of our parsha is the template of what it means to be a believing Jew. The center of our lives is that effort to seek to comprehend, to ask questions, to learn, to pursue, to try to understand mitzvos, and to understand Hashem's actions and interactions with us. Surrounding the Darosh Darash are chukim. A reminder that when all is said and done, when we've exhausted our effort to understand, when we can't make sense of it, be it a law or be it life, that we have to surrender and get back to our avoda. Two chukim surrounding the words darosh darash, because the center of our lives are to be seekers, are to be hungry, are to inquire, are to ask questions, are to want to understand. But when we can't, when we fall short, when we're unable to fulfill that central idea of darosh darash, to be able to live with the chukim, those in law and those in life, nonetheless. And I think as we are in the week of Yom HaShoah, and as we remain towards the end, hopefully, but still very much affected by this pandemic, that we can tap into the message and be elevated and strengthened by the recognition that we can live with chukim sometimes, we can live with questions we don't have answers to, but Darosh Darash at the center of our lives, we must never, ever stop asking the questions and seeking to understand, even when we are willing to submit and accept when those very questions don't have answers. Please join me as we say Tehillim on behalf of Chola Yisrael, all those who are ill and all those who are in need of our heartfelt tefillos. We begin with Kapitel Chav Gimel, with Chapter 23. Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Ro'i Lo Echzar V'Naseh She'yar Bitzayni Yamei Minuchos Yina Aleini Nafshi Yishovev Yamcheini V'Magle Tzedek L'man Shemo Gam Ki Erech B'Gates Al Maves Lo Yira Rok Yatai Madi Shiftecho Mishan Techai Mayinach Amuni תארוך לפני שולחן נגד צורריי, תשענת לשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ידפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית אדוני לאורך ימים. Continue with chapter Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. שיר למעלות, עשה עיני אל הערים, Me'ayin yevo Ezri, Ezri me'imadunai, Osei shamayim v'oretz, Ayitem lamod raglecha, Ayanum shomrecha, Hine lo yanum velo yisham, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha yad yeminecha, Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, V'yareyach balayla, Adonai yishmorcha mikora, Yishmor es nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tezcha v'oecha, Me'ata v'yad olam. And finally, Kapitel Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shira malos, nimam akim krasicha Adonai. Adonai shema v'kolit, yanaznecha kashuvos, l'kol tachanunai, imavonos tishmoria, Adonai miyamod, kincha aslicha l'man tivorei, kivisi Adonai kivso nafshi, v'lidvaro hochalti, nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael al Adonai, Kim Adonai ha-chesed ve-harbeimo fidus, V'hu yifteres Yisrael, Nikol avonosav. We continue with the tefillah mishaberach. For those who are ill, we wish a speedy, a painless, a complete recovery. When I pause, please think about those who are in need of our heartfelt prayers. Mishaberach avoseinu avon zav Yaakov, Moshe alam dover shlomo yivarach ve-ape esacholim ve-esacholos. Hashra Bagalov is man kariv, and Omar, amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldberg. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing? How is Pesach?
Baruch Hashem, we're doing well. We're grateful to be healthy and well, and we have opportunity to have celebrated Pesach so differently this year than last year. And if this past year has taught us anything, it is not to take any of the blessings in our life for granted. So we try to count them each and every day, and we're very, very grateful.
I'm certainly grateful and happy this year. So to get us started, for those of our listeners, and it's impossible to think how it could even be possible, who may not be as familiar with your community, and for full disclosure, but I imagine your callers know it by now at this point, the DRS is the community our family calls home as well. Would it be possible to share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure, gladly. We are very, very blessed here in Boca Raton Synagogue to have a large, but much more important to me, diverse community. Our tagline, our slogan, is valuing diversity, celebrating unity. In some communities, diversity, the fact that people have different backgrounds, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Hasidish, Litvish, those who've always been religious, those who became religious, those who are not yet observant, is something that people tolerate in other communities. In our community, it's not a function or a matter of tolerating, but it's something that we value, we look for, and it's a balance, that an equilibrium that is critically important, and we hope and try to, please God, maintain, because we know we are only enriched by being exposed and learning to those not who are the same as us, but who are different in every variable, from different ages, and as I said, background, understanding, knowledge, observance, people who vote differently, think differently, believe differently, and yet we are all richer by being together. So we value that diversity, and then we celebrate the unity, the fact that we are one community, and we try to function as one community. So on a Shabbos morning, and Baruch Hashem, we're very grateful to be back there, we have many, many minyanim, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Shtibel, Karlbach, explanatory, teen. We don't try to put or squeeze people into a box or mold, but respect that people are different and welcome that individuality and try to grow together. I wouldn't say despite it, I'd say because of it.
Amazing. And our family truly has gained tremendously in the years that we have been here in Boca. Rabbi Goldberg, what motivated and drove you to go into the rabbinate? Become a pulpit rabbi, you touched so many lives here in Boca, but also globally around the world. What was the propeller that drove you to go into the rabbinate?
First of all, Mitzvah Shem, thank you for that bracha. I hope to be able to touch lives. I do not come from a line of rabbis. My father was a corporate executive, and my brother-in-law is a lawyer. My brother does have smicha, and he teaches. He's in chenuch, but he's also a doctor and a physician. So I don't come from a long line of rabbis, and I wasn't planning on going into the rabbinate myself. But after coming back from yeshiva when I was in YU, I began to get involved with youth groups and with teaching, and I found it so rewarding that that's what I wanted to do with my life. When I moved to Boca, we were part of the community kollel here, and I thought I would spend my life in chinuch, but it was my wife, I give her 100% of the credit, who redirected me into a life of rabbana. She thought that would be a better fit for me, and she couldn't have been more right. I have such admiration for my colleagues and friends in chinuch, for their patience, for their perseverance. I don't think I could have done that. But the rabbinate I love, no 2 days, no 2 hours are the same. It's made up of so many different opportunities, professions, skill sets. I love what I do. I find it overwhelmingly rewarding and gratifying, and there was nothing else in the world I would want to do instead.
Incredible, and we're certainly so appreciative and grateful that that was an incredible life decision that you made, and thank Robinson Goldberg for pushing you in that direction for all the lives that you touched and continue to do. So last question for today. It's been now a little over a year since we had you on the program, and the world has changed so dramatically as a result of the pandemic, and where we were a year ago and where we are now with the rollout of the vaccines and trying to get back to a certain sense of normalcy, a new normal, whatever that means. And our communities, our schools have changed. Thinking about DRS, thinking more broadly, what communal changes do you anticipate for your shul, for your community, and perhaps even the broader Jewish community as we move forward into what we hope soon, Bezrat Hashem, will be a post-COVID-19 world?
It's a great question. It's something that we're thinking about on a regular basis. I think there are a lot of lessons. One of them was when the world shut down, and then when it reopened, but it did so in small groups, and people found themselves, even when it shut down within their own home, they were the gabbai, the rabbi, the bakore, the batzila. People discovered within themselves skill sets, talents, and ambitions they never knew they had. And when blocks became formed minyanim, what emerged was some leadership and talent, and we hope to tap into that. So Tos, Tzibur, Kahal, Kehila, community is a core Jewish value. It's not just something we do out of convenience, but it's a core value, Berovam Hajis Melech, to be together, and we hope to be able to reinvigorate and continue. Our community, Baruch Hashem, has responded well and has come together, but to continue to come together. And I think going forward, the question we have to answer is, how can we function as a collective, collaborative community, but also respecting and welcoming the differences and the talents of people, tapping in and leveraging them to their fullest. So I don't think we should go back to business as usual. We learned a lot, and we should implement what we've learned. We should return to the things that are important to go back to, but not be stuck in any way, really be reexamining and reevaluating everything we do to ask if we're doing it just because it's always the way we did it, or whether we should be continuing to do it as we go forward.
Rabbi Goldberg, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillahs, our prayers are with you and your community, our community, for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, letova for good, and may the Rabboni Sholem, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Saul Strosberg of Congregation Sharet Israel in Nashville, Tennessee. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.